to continue our teaching on Think Like Jesus. What God has given us for today, as usual, is more than what we can finish in one sitting. So we will start. Wherever we get to, we will stop. And then if the Lord tarries, we continue next week Sunday. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. I want to believe that every one of us here is genuinely born again. And there is nobody who is playing games with the Almighty God, because we don't know when the rapture will take place. My greatest desire is to see every one of you in heaven. Praise God.
Amen.
I have made up my mind, I'm not going to hell. No matter what is going to cost me. It is real. I'm not going to hell. And you will not go to hell in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now we are going to continue today looking at obedience. Then later we are going to look at humility. Think like Jesus. Last week Sunday, we looked at how to handle injustice. When you are being cheated, when you are being oppressed, when you are being maligned, as a Christian, how are you supposed to handle it? Now today, we will be looking at what is it that made Jesus great? What is that one thing that granted him access always into the presence of God? What is that one thing that gave Jesus promotion? Promotion that somebody who went to the lowest depths of earth now rose to the highest height in the universe. That word is obedience. And that is one area in which many of us have problems. Many of us will have problems with obedience. And we will see it in a while. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. The word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 8 now says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, such that God now exalted him and gave him a name which is above every other name. Principle, because what we are looking at today is the principle of Christ. What makes Christ Christ? What is the basic law? What is the basic guidance that controls Jesus of Nazareth? Principle simply means a basic law. Every one of us, we have principles. There are some things that you will not do, no matter how much we force you. Okay? No matter how much money you are paid, you will simply say, it is against my principle. There are some things that are your principle. There are some things that are against your principle. Now, the principle of Christ is basically obedience. The basic law of Jesus is basically obedience. He says, "I always do what pleases my Father. I always do. I don't disobey. Whatever my Father says is what I do." So when the Father says, "Go and die," he did not, there is no argument about it. I have been given an instruction, and the instruction is go and die. And he went and he died. And the Father said, "Because you obeyed, even unto death, you will occupy the highest position." There are two principles operating in the universe. Please, I want you to note it. I don't want you to forget. How many principles did I say, please?
Two.
There are two principles operating in the entire universe. In heaven, on earth, and in hell. Only two principles. Only two basic laws. One is the principle of obedience. The second is the principle of rebellion. There is no other principle. You are operating at any moment in your life under either of those two principles. You are either under the principle of obedience, or you are operating under the principle of rebellion. Now, obedience is symbolized by Jesus Christ. The principle of rebellion is symbolized by Lucifer. At any particular moment in your life, you are under either of those two principles. You are either behaving like Jesus or you are behaving like Lucifer. There is no in between. There is no time in your life that you can say you are neutral. Obedience gives you promotion. Rebellion guarantees destruction. If you check your life, if you are having crises and challenges in your life, if you check your life and you are honest with yourself, check it back to the roots, you will discover at a point, at a critical moment in life, you disobeyed. Check it. And you see, disobedience has been made popular. Disobedience has been, in quote, legalized by the world under various terms. That you are fighting for your right. That you are doing your own thing, your own way. Like I can do it, I can think myself. I have the right to take decisions of my own. Some says, you have to be smart. Some say, you must not be foolish. If you don't do that thing, people will just think you have, other people will just, the world gives it so many different terminologies just to justify it. But at the end of the day, rebellion, disobedience brings one to only one point, destruction. Now the unfortunate thing is this, many believers in Christ Jesus, in doctrine, you know what doctrine is? In teaching, in belief. In doctrine, they follow Jesus. But in principle, they follow Lucifer. I say it again, many believers, many Christians, in doctrine, they follow Jesus. But in principle, they follow Lucifer. They tell you all the right things, but they do all the wrong things. They know all the right things, but they do all the wrong things. They can quote the Bible for you. They go to church regularly. They know what God says, but they end up doing what He says should not be done. That's a major problem in the church. That's why there is no difference between the Christian and the unbeliever. Because you can't distinguish between them. And lo, God is not interested in your doctrine. God is not interested in my doctrine. God is interested in our principle. Because it is our principle that shows our character. And character means much more to God than your personality. Of course, you know the difference between character and personality. Personality is what you are when people are present. Personality is what you show to people. Personality is what we all know in the church. Character is what you are when no one is present. Character is the real you. And that character only comes out when you are put under pressure. Like for so many people, you don't know the real them. That's why you've been worshiping with somebody in church for months, for years. And you say, this brother is so kind, he's so sweet, he's so faithful, every program is there, he's always on time. And then one day, something happens. Somebody does something and presses the right button that must not be pressed. And the brother flares up. And everybody says, I can't believe that Brother John could do that. Hey, if you saw the way he was raging that day, oh my God. I thought the guy, no. You are just knowing Brother John. And it is the same with you, it is the same with me. Your real character will come out when you are put under pressure. That's why God allows us to go under pressure. That's why God allows us that things that we don't like happen to us, so that He can show us our true character. So that we will know what to correct. Your character is very, very important. And it is determined by your principle. Listen to another one. The Bible says obedience is better than what?
Sacrifice.
Than sacrifice. Obedience is your principle. Your sacrifice is your doctrine. So it does not matter how much born again you say you are. It does not matter how many Bible passages you can quote. If you are living in disobedience, it is meaningless before the Almighty God. And we will explain the levels of authority, because that is one area in which many of us get confused. We don't know what is authority, and we don't know who has authority. But let's continue. We'll get there in a short while. The devil laughs. Hey, Satan laughs. He laughs. All the demons laugh when they see a disobedient person praying. Or saying, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. They will laugh when they see a disobedient person fasting or quoting the Bible. They will laugh. Why? Because the devil is not afraid of our prayers, though. Satan is not afraid of our fasting. If we declare 40 days fasting, the devil doesn't scare him. He too declares fasting. Are you going along with me? He declares fasting. The Muslims fast. Satan declares fasting for them. The occultists fast. I read the story of one young man who was in the occult, who was to move from one level to another in the occult, and he was told to fast for 1 year so that the evil spirit can be able to enter into him. If you read the book Grandmaster of the Occult, Nathaniel Uzoma, he fasted for 1 year. The devil took the class fasting. He's not scared. Your fasting doesn't scare him. Our binding and casting does not scare him. The devil is afraid of only one thing: your obedience. I pray we will understand. The only thing that the devil is afraid of in you is your obedience. The day you make up your mind that no matter what it costs me, I will obey God, that day Satan marks you as a dangerous enemy. That day, he knows anything you say with your mouth, it will come to pass. That day, he knows you don't even need to fast. Heaven will move. And that's why the devil keeps on, again and again, making sure that we find reasons to disobey. Because he knows disobedience weakens us completely. I will tell you why. Number one, why is the devil afraid of our obedience? Number one, it shows him straight away that we are perfect with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the principle of obedience. When you make up your mind that you too are going to obey, you are sending signals to the forces of darkness that you and Jesus, you are perfect. Number two, it reminds him of the strategy that Jesus used to defeat him. Jesus simply used obedience. He obeyed unto death, and that was what killed the devil. The devil didn't know how to handle it. Number three, there is no limit to God using an obedient person. If you make up your mind, you will obey. Even unto death, there is no limit that God cannot use you. There is no limit. God can take you to any height in your generation. Number four, the obedient person has perfect authority over demons. Perfect, total authority over evil spirits. You do, over every power of darkness. Why is it so? A rebellious creature cannot bind another rebellious creature. Do you understand? The devil is a rebel. The devil is in hell. The demons are in hell. They were glorious beings before. It was disobedience that brought them down. It was rebellion that destroyed Lucifer, son of the morning. He was the bodyguard of God. He was the one closest to God. It was rebellion that brought him down to hell. You understand? A rebellious Christian cannot bind the devil. You are the same. A disobedient Christian cannot bind a demon. It won't work. How can the pot be calling the kettle black? You are disobeying. The devil will say, I disobeyed. You are also a disobedient person. How dare you tell me that you bind me? Just slap your face. They will not obey. And God will not back the authority of a disobedient Christian. He doesn't back it. He backs the authority of obedience. That's why Christians pray and pray and pray and pray. Can you imagine the amount of prayer they are praying in Nigeria? Can you imagine the amount of vigils they are having in Nigeria and nothing is happening? Because there is no difference between those who are praying and the demons they are praying against. Are you playing along with me? You have many intercessors, so many intercessors groups. It's not working. Because there's no difference between them. The demons just won't obey. How can you disobey your father at home and then you come to church and begin to bind the devil? I don't know, it won't work. How can a wife disobey the husband and come to church and bind the devil? It won't work. How can you disobey your boss and come to church? It will not work. How can you disobey traffic warding on the road? Traffic warding. How can you disobey last man? And then you say you are going to pray to bind the devil. It's not going to work. It won't work. So it's not the same. So before your own Christianity can be effective, you must first and foremost go back and correct every disobedience that is in your life. Then you can now be effective. Amen. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hope I'm making sense.
Yes.
All right. Now listen to this. We are very sensitive to sin. Christians, we have been taught to be very sensitive to sin. We are sensitive to adultery, right? If somebody commits adultery, we all shy away. Ah, this one is a sinner. Isn't that so? We are sensitive to stealing. Isn't that so? Somebody steals. Hey, you are a thief. We are sensitive to lying. Hey, you just stole. We are sensitive to abusing people. We are sensitive to sin. But we are really seldom sensitive to rebellion. We are not sensitive to disobedience. We are not sensitive to stubbornness. As a matter of fact, we permit it. What we do not realize is that rebellion, disobedience, stubbornness is worse than adultery, than stealing, than lying. You will see it in a moment. The world permits disobedience, the world excuses rebellion, our society gives room for stubbornness under the guise of that person has a strong will. You can't try that with him. He knows his own mind. And some of us even boast about it. Nobody can try that kind of thing with me. Because I know who I am. I won't take it. That's how we excuse it. So we approve of stubbornness. We approve of disobedience. If you are driving on the road and it is showing red light and you stop and the vehicle behind you passes you and jumps the red light and then passes you and jumps the left, and other people will say, are you stupid? Should you move now? If you are stupid, you too you will move. You are a disobedient person. You have broken a law. You have disobeyed. At that particular moment that you jump that red light, you have simply shown that you and Lucifer, you are the same. You might even be coming from church, or you might be going to church, but you have shown God, no, God is watching. Every moment you have just simply told the Almighty God, there is no difference between you and the devil. Because you operate according to the same principle, disobedience. You see all those Okada riders, you see them, they don't stop for any traffic light, they don't stop for any police checkpoint, they don't recognize any form of authority. You see how they look. You see how they look. Do you want to look like them? That is where disobedience has brought them to. And yet they refuse to change. You see how they look. You see the Danfo drivers? They don't obey any law. They don't obey any rule. You see the way they look? That is where disobedience has brought them to. They have always been disobeyed since they were a child. Since they were children, they've been disobeying. That is where it brought them to. Yet they refuse to change. Is somebody going along with me? Try and look at your society and look at people around you and begin to assess them, and you will see the difference. You will see the difference between somebody who obeys instructions that they give him. Don't do it, he stops, he doesn't do it. This is what you are supposed to do at this time, he goes ahead and he does it. You see that those people, even in an office situation, they get promoted more quickly. They are given more favor in an office situation than the one who is always disobedient, because no manager will promote a disobedient staff. You tell members of staff, you are resuming work by 8, he comes in by 9:30. You tell him, work on this paper for me, I need it in the next 1 hour. The moment the manager turns his back, the guy he has turned from the paper is gisting with somebody, he's talking with somebody. Manager comes back 2 hours time, it is not ready. So okay, give me. I know you won't do it anyway. Give it to somebody else. Then there is somebody who, whenever you give him a job, tell him I need it now, he sits on it, he works on it, he gives it to you. And the time has come for promotion. Who's going to be promoted? And then the disobedient will say, they are doing partial in this office. They are doing partial. That man doesn't like me. And even if she's a girl, she will start saying, I don't mind the foolish man. Now, because I don't speak with her, he can use eye to talk to me. Nobody is using eye to talk to you. So disobedience. So if you are having problems in your life, before you start blaming people, before you start blaming your ancestors, before you start saying the covenant from the village is fighting you, look very well, though. Probably you are the one fighting yourself. Probably you are the cause of your problem. Anyone who will not accept instruction, who will not accept correction, is heading for destruction. Pure and simple. There is no other way. He's heading for destruction. If disobedience can destroy Lucifer, it will destroy anybody. Are you flying along with me? Hello? Hello? Aha. If disobedience, if it can destroy second in command to the Almighty God, it will destroy anybody. If obedience can promote a man that was born in a manger, a man who had no money, who had no house, whose only possession is the dress he was wearing, and only one. He doesn't have a spear to change into. If obedience can promote him to the level that everybody in the universe is now kneeling down before him, obedience will promote anybody. No matter your background. Are you following along with me? God will send authorities to you. God will send people to you. God will send people who will give you instructions. If you disobey, you are doing yourself. I'm not doing God. Let's move on. I've been talking about authority, authority, authority. How many authorities are there? There is only one authority in the entire universe. Romans chapter 13. Let's go there quickly, please. Romans chapter 13. We read verses 1 and 2. Romans 13, we read 1 and 2. Are we there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is only one power. God. And every other power is of God. And whoever resists the powers is resisting God. And those that resist shall get to themselves what?
Damnation.
What is the opposite of salvation?
Damnation.
Salvation means you go to heaven. Damnation means the fellow goes to hell. Simple disobedience, so if you can call it simple. Disobedience, it takes the fellow right to go and meet the father of disobedience. That is Lucifer. Right in hell. Salvation takes you to go and meet Jesus Christ. And there is only one channel. It is obedience. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we say God is the only authority, which is true. But God exercises his authority in two ways. Number one, directly. And number two, indirectly. Those are the two ways God exercises his authority. Number one, directly. Number two, indirectly. Directly is when God speaks to you as an individual and tells you, go and do such and such a thing. He really does that. God really, really, I'm sure there are many of you here who have never once in your life had God talk to you once and say, go and do this thing. God really uses that authority. He really uses that mode. The one that he uses often is the indirect means of exercising his authority. Indirect is he exercises authority through another person. And that other person is referred to as a delegated authority. Delegated authority. Delegated authority is someone that is exercising authority on behalf of God. And please listen to me, brethren. We need to develop the godly habit of recognizing delegated authority anywhere and everywhere that we are. Because if you disobey, like we read here, if you disobey a delegated authority, you are disobeying God. One, at home, your father is an authority. It's a delegated authority. Your mother is a delegated authority. In school, your teacher is a delegated authority. In church, your pastor is a delegated authority. In the office, your boss is a delegated authority. In the society, the police is a delegated authority. The president of Nigeria has no power. President Obama has no power. They are all delegated authorities. Only God has power. Only God has authority. Are you following along with me? Aha. Whenever a man starts thinking that he is authority on his own, God removes him out of the way he did to Abacha. The way he did to Babangida, he removes him. He puts somebody else there. Now, if a delegated authority misuses his power, God is going to deal with him because he's using the name of God to tell a lie. That authority was given to him by God. There is nobody who has power today, but God gave it to him for a season. Are you following along with me? Listen, you are a doctor, a medical doctor. You are riding a Lexus Jeep. Okay? You own a big hospital, and you have hundreds of people employed, and you get to the road, and you meet a traffic warden. That traffic warden is higher than you are. On that road, is higher. Is an authority there. He's representing God. You are not representing God on that road. That is delegated authority. Are you following along with me? If you now go and say, don't you know who I am? Don't you know I am Dr. So-so? You are disobeying. You might even be a pastor. You might even be a layman in the church. It might be whatever. You are disobeying. You are in trouble with God already. Because that's traffic warning was put there by God for a purpose, to maintain orderliness. Are you following along with me? In like manner, you must train yourself. If you enter a place, try and find out who has authority here. Who has authority here? When you identify the person who has authority, submit to that authority. Then you are showing that you have the principle of Christ. If you do anything other, if you say, no, I'm more educated than him, what if they made him the gate man? And so what? You are getting into trouble. I go to places, as I'm about to enter, the gate man stops me. Say, where are you going? I say, good morning, sir. I'm going in to see so-so and so. Say, no, you can't go. You have to. I say, no problem, sir. Where do I sign, sir? He doesn't take anything out of my body. But I recognize one thing, at that gate, that guy is the authority there. If you look down on him, you are looking down on God. If you disobey him, you are disobeying God. Christians need to learn that. It's when we understand that, that we'll be able to show forth meekness. Meekness. Meekness means that you are tempered, you are moderate, you are very, very lowly minded. You meet some Christians that is too much arrogance, too much stubbornness. You can't talk to them. You can't reason with them. Because they don't recognize authority anywhere. They see authority in themselves, they don't see authority in other people. And that's a very dangerous thing. I pray you will not fall into that trap in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me give you an example. Let's assume we have a big church. Okay? And then, like you see in some churches, they have some brothers who volunteer to be car park attendants. Right? Whether it is raining or not, they will not enter the church. They will stay in the car park, controlling traffic. And then let's now assume one Sunday, the senior pastor drove into the church premises, and he has a place that normally parks. So he was heading to park there, and one brother came and said, one of the car park captains said, good morning, pastor. Good morning, sir. Sorry, sir. We don't want you to park here today. We are trying to rearrange the car park so that because more cars are now coming. Could you please move your car to that place, sir, if you can park? Brother Andrew? Brother Andrew? Is something wrong with you this morning? You are telling me I cannot park my car here? Nonsense! What did you eat? Do you know who you are talking to? Nonsense! And then he comes out of the car, bam, carries his Bible, bam, bam, marches to the pulpit. Preaches a wonderful sermon. And everybody say, Pastor, that sermon was powerful. Pastor, you are blessed. I ask you one question. During that service, who was the pastor representing? Jesus or Satan? That Sunday, as far as heaven is concerned, Satan came to that church and preached a wonderful sermon. All the while that pastor was preaching, demons are clapping, they are jumping. He is our man, oh. He is our man, oh. Our man has taken over the pulpit in that church. Our representative is there. Jesus is not there. Is somebody feeling along with me?
Yes.
That is how dangerous it is. If a man does not recognize authority, the fellow will abuse authority. And once he abuses authority, is disconnected from Jesus Christ. Satan will not have anything to do with a rebel. Jesus will not have anything to do with a rebel. I tell you one other thing. Sin is easily forgiven. And this is why we need to be very, very careful. God easily forgives sin. But God does not easily forgive rebellion. Because sin has to do with conduct. Rebellion has to do with principle. It's your character. Sin is something that you do as a result of what you inherited from Adam. So if you commit a terrible sin, God finds it easy to forgive you. But when you disobey, that is you walking. Haven't you wondered, David and Saul? Haven't you wondered? Between the two of them, who did more woefully? David or King Saul?
David.
David broke four of the Ten Commandments. David took another man's wife, impregnated her, committed adultery, then sat down, coldly plotted his death, and then executed it by using his authority as the king. When he made sure that he has killed the man, he now went and took his wife and married his wife. All that Saul did is that God said, Saul, go and kill the Amalekites. And God, Saul got there, killed the Yahya people there and the Yahya animals there, and saved the fat animals. Right? And yet, God immediately forgave David, but refused to forgive Saul. Why? Because David sinned, Saul rebelled. Are you following along with me? David's crime was sin. Saul's crime was rebellion. So sin is easily forgiven, rebellion is not easily forgiven. So a simple act of disobedience can destroy the life of a man. It can terminate what God has planned for him. And the man will say, but it's nothing that, if I just told the man that I can't do it, I couldn't do it now because I didn't want to do it. Eh? And that destroys everything God has planned for that man. That's why it's a very serious matter. Disobedience is a very, very serious matter. You need to reorganize your life. You need to reorganize your thinking. You need to reassess the way you handle situations, and believe me, I'm pleading with you, whenever you get to any situation, please, please, please try and identify who has authority here. Who has authority here? If you are working in a company and there are layers and layers and layers of authority, please, there could be a supervisor over you. And then after the supervisor, there is a foreman. After the foreman, there is a manager. Don't ridicule the supervisor and then bypass him to go to the foreman. You are disobeying authority. Nothing may happen to you right there, but I'm telling you, something has gone. Because somebody is watching, and it's the Almighty God. For submission, for obedience to exist anywhere, there must first and foremost be what is called submission. Submission. Ah! I'm looking at time. I have just 5 minutes left. Let's quickly look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's see how we can quickly move. There is something I need to tell us in closing. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. Like I mentioned earlier, we are not finishing today. We'll finish this message next week Sunday. We've gone more than halfway though. Thank God for that. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. All of you be subject one to another. Listen, the way God has organized the church, there are some authority that I have, but I don't have all the authority. There are some that you have. Very soon, as God continues to increase us, you will see that we will have ushers. We will have choir members. We will have people who are counselors. As the pastor, I must recognize the authority of the usher. And I must recognize the authority of the counselor. Are you following along with me? I must be able to see God in each one of them, even as I see God in my life. If I don't see God in them, I only see God in myself, then I'm asking for trouble from God. And that's how many people do ministry today. Everything is allocated to the pastor. He cannot be wrong. So even when he's making a mistake, nobody can correct him. And it's very dangerous. When a man gets to a point in which nobody can correct him, that man is heading for destruction. I pray you won't get to that stage in your life. Amen. I tell you a story very quickly in closing this morning. We'll continue next Sunday. This incident again happened to the founder of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Babala Koso. A lot of things have changed since that man died. We will not say more than that. Baba was to visit the parish. In those days, Redeem was not, you know, it took over 28 years for Redeem to grow. Took a long time. In those 28 years, Redeem was putting his root down. Took a long time. Okay? Baba was to visit one of the parishes. And in those days, they started workers' meeting by 7 a.m. If you are not in by 7 a.m. dot, they will lock the door. You will stay outside. And then those who are inside will do the workers' meeting. So Baba did not tell the pastor of that particular parish that he was coming, but he wanted to attend the workers' meeting. By a few minutes to 7, he was already there. But he was in the premises, he was not inside. A few seconds to 7, the man was walking in very quickly to beat the 7 o'clock deadline. The usher that was supposed to lock the door was already at the door. The usher was looking at the old man coming. The usher recognized him. He saw him coming. But it was now 7 o'clock on the dot. With his eyes looking at Babala Koso, that's the general superintendent. Their eyes made contact, the usher closed the door and he locked it. Because as far as the usher was concerned, Baba, you are supposed to be inside by now, you are not supposed to be outside there. So he locked. So the old man waited outside. The usher didn't tell the pastor what he did. They did the workers' meeting. Everything went well. The pastor said, now open the door so that other people can now come in and Sunday service can now start. They opened the door. The first person to come in was Babala Koso. Baba, good morning, sir. Good morning. When did you arrive? Baba said, I came in just as the usher was locking the door. Hey, the pastor turned. Where is the usher? Hey! Baba said, stop that immediately. The old man said, stop that. What do you want to do? Pastor said, this man, this usher, I will replace him. I said, you will do nothing to him. He did the right thing. I was not supposed to be outside there as of that time. I was supposed to be inside. If he had allowed me to enter, I would have placed him under discipline myself. That he was doing eye service. Leave him alone. He did the right thing. See, do you see that today? In fact, they will even stop the Sunday service for the man of God to arrive. They will keep God waiting. That is submission. Are you following along with me? The old man recognized that young usher has authority. As of that time, to lock that door. And he submitted himself to that authority. That is what God has called us into. Until we return to that meekness, until we return to that submission as Christians, we will be running round and round in circles, and unbelievers will just be making fun of us. And it is that kind of submission that the Almighty God is calling you into. I want you to talk to God this morning that He will help you, that you will be obedient, like Jesus Christ became obedient unto death. It may not make sense to you, but believe me, it makes sense to God. Obedience is that single factor that will determine whether you will retain favor with God or you will lose favor with God. You must make sure that you maintain your obedience. Let us pray.